Glad we're all here today, and if you notice, there might be a few people or a few friends not here as normal. There's actually a marriage retreat going on over in Peoria. Woo! So, marriage is awesome, Peoria is awesome, Bloomington's awesome though, and I'm glad we're all here. So, there's actually a Tri-City marriage retreat, and so, different disciples from the Bloomington, Springfield, and Champaign Church were over there yesterday. Anna and I were there. We had a great time. It was fun to just see people we don't get to see every week. It was fun to just hear from God's Word and really hear about what God wants marriage to be and how it's meant to glorify God. And it's something that, not to be an idol in our life, but just a blessing from God to have that partner along with us as we follow Him. And really understand husbands how to love our wives how to respect our husbands. And it was great. It was a really good time. And they're having fun. They're having service there this morning. But we're going to have fun. We're going to have a great time here too. Amen. So we're continuing our series on building up God's house. In the month of April, we've been looking at Nehemiah and the book of Nehemiah and studying it. We looked through chapter 1 and chapter 2. And we saw how Nehemiah, he heard about the just condition of God's kingdom and how Jerusalem's wall was just in rubble and broken down, and he was moved by it. And God put it on his heart to go rebuild that wall. Yeah. And then King Artaxerxes helped him with that rebuild and helped him to have what he needed to get over there. And he talked to the different Jewish people there, and they said, absolutely, we'll follow you, we'll help rebuild this wall. And now we're at that point. And we're really looking at Nehemiah to learn how to build God's kingdom today. Because they worked hard to build up God's house, but we're still disciples today trying to do that same thing. So we can learn from the past and try to apply that. So today, our focus really is, how did God's kingdom be built in the past, and how can we learn from that and then do it again today? So, let's jump right in. Let's go back to Nehemiah chapter 3. My first point is, everyone helps build. Go to Nehemiah chapter 3 with me.
Come on, Peter.
So Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. So in Nehemiah chapter 3, we'll read verses 1 through 5. Eliashib, the high priest, and his fellow priests went to work and rebuilt the sheep gate. They dedicated it and set its doors in place, building as far as the Tower of the Hundred, which they dedicated, and as far as the Tower of Hananel. The men of Jericho built the adjoining section, and Zakur, son of Imri, built next to them. The fish gate was built by the sons of Hasani. They laid its beams and put its doors and bolts and bars in place. Meremoth, son of Uriah, the son of Hakos, repaired the next section. Next to him, Meshullam, son of Berechiah, the son of Meshezabel, made the repairs. And next to him, Zadok and Bana also made repairs. The next section was repaired by the men of Tekoa. But their nobles would not put their shoulders to work under their supervisors. So, what's going on here? We get to see the different people that helped construct the wall. We get to hear what the construction was, and then also the specific names of the people who helped build it. When Nick told me, hey, I want you to preach about this, and I wanted you to preach about this chapter, I was like, and you want me to say all those names? Okay, let's do it. And I went for it. You know, we have names on there like Meremoth. I've been practicing all week. So I see, you know, verse 4, it says Meremoth. That sounds like a Pokemon to me. But that was a guy's name, right? I think, though, if they saw our names today, they would probably have a hard time with it, too. And they would hear ours and be tricky with it. But I look here. What's the significance, though? This actual entire chapter, chapter 3, it just keeps going like that. It says their names, and it says what they did to help build Jerusalem's walls, and what pieces, the names and the construction. And why did God do that? You know, it helps us show something. It helps us see, hey, everyone helps build. It wasn't just Nehemiah building that wall. Right. It was a lot of different people that came together to do something for God and build up his house.
Yeah.
It's the same way to do it today. Everyone helps build. You know, I even think with our church here in Bloomington, Last year, we had the Honorgram Wall, and we've still had it going on this year. That is just like what I see here in this chapter. Chapter 3 is like our own Honorgram Wall. It's a place where you can see, hey, things people are doing to love God, love others, share the truth, ways people are just trying to build up God's kingdom. It's the same way. And I love that. I love that they put in those names. You know, to rebuild the wall, it took a lot of people. And the same thing it can be for us. You know, one person can make an impact for God, but what can the impact be when a lot of people work together?
Right.
I want to try something. This will be a little more interactive.
Okay.
I'm going to need one volunteer, and you don't have to come up here. But what you're going to do is you're going to stand up, and then I'll say, one, two, three, go, and you're going to give a loud shout in this room. This is your chance. Somebody, you know, I'll have to pick. I know a lot of people are going to want to. But one person, you just get to give a loud shout at church on Sunday. It's Sunday morning church. You get to give a loud shout as you want. Anybody will have that chance. So I'll pick one person. I need a volunteer, though. Okay. So, Nicole, all right. So, I saw other hands. Maybe next time. You'll have to ask Nick. But, Nicole, all right, you ready? Okay. Yeah, take the gum out. Yeah, we don't want to choke. Okay. So, on go. Not on three. On go. Just like a second or two, you know, put it all into that little moment. All right. One, two, three, go. Awesome. Okay. Nice job, Nicole. So that was great, right? The kids might have heard that one in the back. So that was awesome. That was one person. Now we're going to all try it. You don't have to stand up. You can just stay seated. But I'll say one, two, three, and then on go, we're all going to give a loud shout. And we're going to see what that sounds like. All right? All right, here we go. One, two, three. Whoa, awesome. Okay, you scared me a little bit there. That was great. So, you didn't plan on doing that when you came to church this morning, right? So, we noticed Nicole gave a loud shout. It was awesome. But when we all together, you know, made a loud noise, it was even greater.
Yeah.
You know, our impact for God is greater when we all work together.
Amen.
So, what can we do, though? What can we do to help build up God's house? Go to the next slide. Keep going. So one thing we could do is give money to help build up and support the church. Go with me to Acts 4. What are some things we can do practically to build up God's house? I love this verse here. So in Acts 4, actually verses 32 through 37, give a description of the culture of giving in the early church. And at first, it describes different things. At first, it talks about how, you know, no one considered what they had was their own, but they gave to everyone as they had need. There was no needy person among them. It says even some people who had houses or fields would sell them and just bring the money to the apostles and just put it at their feet. And they would have these trustworthy leaders that didn't care about worldly wealth and would be able to distribute it as anybody had needed. Yeah. That was just the culture. And then here at the end where we read, verse 36, it says, Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. So here we see an example of that. Barnabas, just son of encouragement. He said, you know what? I have this, but I can just sell this field. Let me just give this money, and this could hopefully be to God's glory and help God's kingdom. You know, that was radical giving. We can have radical giving today. You know, what are some ways we're trying to give? We think about this summer, we're trying to raise money and going to have a fundraiser to have our own building. We can give to that.
Yeah.
You know, you think about if we are striving towards having a next generation couple here, money towards that. Think about other things that we could give, you know, to the church, just the weekly needs and where we're able to help out.
Yeah.
European missions, there's so many ways, great opportunities that we can help give to build up God's kingdom. That's one way we can help build up the house. Another way is, go to the next one, go and make disciples.
Yep.
Go to Matthew 28 with me.
Come on, Peter.
Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. This is after Jesus had risen. Verse 18, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. See, this verse has actually become one of the most encouraging verses in the Bible to me, and this is why. It says at the beginning in 18, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So Jesus says, I'm in control of everything, the whole universe.
Yep.
And then he gives us a task. You know, I want you to go do this. Go take the world. Go out and make disciples. Go out and share the gospel. Have Bible study. And then the people who hear it and want to follow it with all their heart and want to love God, those people baptize them and then teach them everything. Don't just get them there, but continue to nurture them. Help them know Jesus.
Right.
And then he says at the end in 20, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. So the being God, Jesus, who's in control of everything, all authority, gives us this calling, but then just doesn't just give it to us. He says, hey, I'm going to be with you always to the very end of the age. I'm going to be with you when you're out there sharing the gospel.
Yeah.
I'm going to be there to help you along the way. This verse, I often just would hear it as a kid. Go out and do this. Go do this. We need to be doing this. I've read it so many times. Now I read it, I'm just like, wow. God's given me a great calling, and he's going to be with me, and he's the one who's in control. He's the most powerful being, and he's going to help me live this out. This is a great calling. One way you can help build God's house is by adding to the number of people in that house.
Yeah.
Going out and making disciples. You know, this has happened recently. Last Sunday night in Champaign, there was a baptism that night.
Come on now.
And it was so incredible. I actually got to baptize my brother-in-law, Paul Rogers. And it was amazing. So that's something that, you know, the church has been praying for so long. And, you know, Anna and I praying day after day. And so it was incredible. And it was just so moving. It still is moving. Something that's amazing about it, though, is that the Bloomington Church was also part of that.
Yeah.
So this spring, Alec and Andy Garcia, who grew up here in the Bloomington Church, were part of Paul's Bible studies,
yeah,
along with Josh Lutz. And it's so cool to just see how the Champaign Church and the Bloomington Church are working together to build up God's kingdom. And so I just share that, just know, hey, God's moving. God's doing things. I think even...
Come on, Peter.
Yep.
That's
me. Come on, man. Yeah, that's just incredible. Thank you. I think even today, though, there's going to be more amazing things. Nick and Arasto and I have been having different Bible studies with Kenny. And if you haven't met Kenny yet, he's a freshman at ISU. And he's here this morning. And after church, he's also going to get baptized. So we're really excited for Kenny. And so, Kenny, we're so excited for you to be a Christian and be a part of the family of God, too. So God's doing incredible things. And it's moving, right? It moves your heart. It's incredible. And we want to be a part of those great things. Go to the next one. One last one. Building up the body. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 4. So Ephesians 4 verses 15 through 16. It says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So another way we can build God's house is by building up the body, you know, strengthening each other.
Mm-hmm.
And this whole section, actually in chapter 4, it talks about unity within the body.
Mm-hmm.
And it talks about how, hey, there's some to be pastors, some to be evangelists, some to be these different leadership roles. And through that, we can help counter all of these different teachings and people being blown back and forth by the wind. And instead, we can speak the truth in love to each other. You know, God's word, that truth from the love in our hearts, and we can help build each other up to be something greater, to be more than just a man or a woman, but to be mature and be like Christ.
Right.
That's God's plan. But it's from love, right? Not annoyance. We don't speak the truth in annoyance, like, man, you're just such a slob. Like, your room is a mess. Like, gosh, I trip over your Legos every time I walk through your room, right? Conversations I would have with my roommates in college. Not that type of talk, right? Not out of annoyance, but rather speak the truth in love, right? We say it from the love in our hearts. You know, we say it because I'm telling you this because I love you. I'm saying this because I want you to be like Jesus. That's the reason why I say those things. I love at the end, it says, as each part does its work. You know, we're a body, you know, each supporting ligament, each piece, and we each do our work. That's what the family of God is like. Nehemiah, we saw in chapter 3, all those different people were working to build up God's house. Same thing today. Let's work together to build up God's house. Yeah. Go to the next slide. My second point is overcome opposition. Yep. Let's go to chapter 4 in Nehemiah. So the rest of chapter 3 was continuing saying the names and the construction. And then in chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, it says, when Sanballat heard that they were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews, and in the presence of his associates and the army of Samaria, he said, what are those feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble, burned as they are? Tobiah the Ammonite, who was at his side, said, what are they building? If even a fox climbed up on it, he would break down their walls of stone. So here, Sanballat and Tobiah, they ridicule Nehemiah and their building. You know, these efforts. So Sanballat, he was a Horonite, and Tobiah, he was from the Ammonite people. And these people had been conquered when Israel came and took over the Promised Land. So when they hear they're trying to rebuild the wall after they've been beaten by the Babylonians, they're like, no way, we don't want to see these people come in again and build this. We don't want this. This isn't going to work. We don't want to see that happen. They're trying to stop the rebuild. See, when you try to do something great for God, you will be met with opposition.
Yep.
What was the opposition for Nehemiah? They faced the opposition of doubt. See, what were they saying? They were saying, man, can they rebuild in a day? Are they going to rebuild it? How are they going to rebuild it from this heap of rubble? Even Tobiah, he said, even if a fox stands on top of the stones, it'll fall apart. I'd be thinking, all right, man, come on. Come up with a better insult than that. That's not intimidating. But they were trying to fill him with doubt. They were trying to say, you know, it's not going to work. You aren't going to be able to do this. And they were being attacked with that. But how'd they respond? Nehemiah 4, verse 4. Through 6, this is Nehemiah. Hear us, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their insults back on their own heads. Give them over as plunder in a land of captivity. Do not cover up their guilt or blot out their sins from your sight. For they have thrown insults in the face of builders. So we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height. For the people worked with all their heart. I love that. So Nehemiah, he gets told, hey, it's not going to work. You need to, I don't believe in you. It's not going to happen, Sanballat says. And what does he respond? Prayer. Hear us, O our God. He just cries out to God, God, help us. Help us with this rebuild. And then what do? They don't just pray and then just sit there and just wait and watch the rocks just move and be rebuilt.
Right.
They do it. They go out and be like, you know what, God, help us with this. And then I'm going to go do my part. I'm going to try to rebuild the wall. And I'm going to keep doing what you put on my heart. And they just keep going for it. And they go for it with all their heart, it says. I love that. That's the only way we can go after God's will, is giving our whole heart to the mission and God's plan. Sanballat hears that, and so he's like, okay, I tried to hit him with doubt. That didn't work. I tried to ridicule. Okay, I'll throw something else at him. So let's see what's next. Nehemiah 4, 7 through 14. But when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the men of Ashdod heard that the repairs to Jerusalem's walls had gone ahead and that the gaps were being closed, they were very angry. They all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. But we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. Meanwhile, the people in Judah said, "The strength of the laborers is giving out, and there's so much rubble that we can't rebuild the wall." Also, our enemies said, "Before they know it or see us, we will be right there among them and will kill them and put an end to the work." Then the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times over, "Wherever you turn, they will attack us." Therefore, I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them by families with their swords, spears, and bows. After I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, "Don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, and your daughters, your wives, and your homes." So, Sam Ballad hears, hey, they're making progress. You know, it didn't work to try and intimidate them. So, you know what? We're going to go attack them. Let's get our men, our soldiers, our weapons. We'll go after them. Let's see if we can kill some of them. Let's see if we can attack and put this to an end. And so, how does Nehemiah respond? Verse 9, it says, we prayed.
Yeah.
They prayed, and then they continued to go after it.
Yep.
And they continued to do the work. They posted a guard, and then Nehemiah gives this amazing, like, Braveheart-like speech. And he just tells them, remember the Lord. Do this, fight for the Lord. Fight for your families, your children, your wives, your homes. Go after that. And he inspires them, and they keep moving forward. We can respond that same way. You know, when we face opposition today, we can look at Nehemiah's example and say, you know what? I'm going to pray, and I'm going to keep doing God's will. I think for us, too, we got to consider, what's our opposition today? What opposition will we face? It's Satan. Satan could try to stir doubt in us, too. Just like Sam Ballad did to Nehemiah. See, I think in John 8, Satan, he's described as the father of lies. When he lies, he's just speaking his native language.
Yep.
Satan could try to lie to us about the things we're trying to build for God's kingdom today. What are some things Satan could say? He could say, you won't be able to raise money for that new building. Satan could say, you won't be able to give. You have all these financial challenges. You won't be able to encourage that brother because he doesn't want you in his life.
Wow.
That brother won't be humble to your correction. That guy you study the Bible with, he won't follow God's plan. Those are lies, not the truth.
Come on, Peter.
You know, like Nick had preached a few weeks ago, I love when he said, you know, stand up and rebuke Satan's lies in your life. Mm-hmm. Get that out. Don't believe that. Don't let that just be something you chew on. Chew on the truth, God's word. We can overcome the opposition we face by looking at Nehemiah and just following the same plan. We've seen men who kept fighting for God. You know, when I face opposition, there's times where I can want to just stop. I can want to just stop doing the good I know I ought to do. You know, it can be so challenging mentally to keep going. I think about times on campus this year where Anna and I have been sharing our faith, and we've been met with opposition. Whether people are like, hey, I don't want to hear that. You know, I don't want to know about that. Or, hey, you can't do that here. You can't talk to people about God. This is a public building. You can't do that. And I've heard that at times and been like, man, this is tough. Some days it's just hard trying to do God's will.
Yeah.
And I've wanted to just, man, it'd be so much easier to stop. But I think about, you know, God's word, and I think about praying like Nehemiah. I think about being strong and courageous like Joshua 1. And I think, you know what? I got to keep doing this. Right. The day's not done. Jesus hasn't come back. I still have work to do here.
Come on, Peter.
Right.
I think in the same way, we got to be able to do that. We got to be able to not let Satan's lies be our life and living that out, rather living out God's plan.
Mm-hmm.
When you try to do something great for God, Satan will try to stop you.
That's right.
But you can overcome. Mm-hmm. What's the difference maker, though? Mm. How do we truly overcome? My last point is by the power of God. Mm-hmm. Go back a slide. By the power of God. We'll overcome that opposition. We'll build God's house by God's power. Nehemiah, he was making progress because God gave him success. The wall wasn't finished, but they had made a lot of progress. Nehemiah was a man who responded in prayer. All the way back to the start of the story in Nehemiah, he chose prayer first. You know, you think of chapter 1, when he heard the condition of Jerusalem's wall and the condition of their people, what did he do? He fasted and prayed. In chapter 2, when King Artaxerxes recognized something was wrong with them, and they started talking, and then he said, you know, what do you want, Nehemiah? What do you want? Nehemiah didn't respond. He prayed first. That was his response. Is that your response? Do you respond to situations in prayer? Is your first response prayer? You know, we're looking to build God's kingdom today here in Bloomington, and we're noticing it. We're seeing ways God's working. Working towards having our own building. Working towards, you know, growing God's kingdom and helping more people become Christians. Working towards building each other up and being close, encouraging each other. You know, serving each other. Telling each other the truth. You know, we're working to build up the house. We're moving. It's amazing. In the same way, we got to respond like prayer, with prayer. Nehemiah 4, verse 9. When Nehemiah hears about how they're going to come and attack, what does he do? Verse 9. But we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. Mm-hmm. Again and again, Nehemiah just responds in prayer. What to do? Pray. When we pray, that's a way that we can rely on God. You know, rather than I can often think, okay, how do I fix this? Or how do I respond? Or what's the right thing to say? Or what's going to help? Rather, instead of that, just thinking, you know what? Let me just pray. Let me just go to God and let God show me what I should be doing. And then we can follow. Let's lift it up to Him. Let's just ask God to bless what we're doing. Yeah. Instead of just trying out to go out and do the work, it's not going to be the special thing you say in that Bible study. Yeah. It's not going to be, you know, that special thing you're doing. It's going to be God.
Yeah.
He's the one. Think about when Jesus was tempted in the desert. What did he respond to Satan with?
Scripture.
Scripture, God's word. You know, he tried to trick him. He said, no, you serve the Lord your God only. He talks to him, man doesn't live on bread alone, but the word of God. Time after time, Jesus just responded to Satan's lies with the word of truth. That's the other thing we need. Prayer and God's word. The truth. The truth is powerful. When we're attacked by Satan's lies, the power that's going to bring us through is the truth.
That's right.
It's going to be the truth where we're able to say, you know what, that's a lie. I know God's word, and we can say God's word to ourselves, whether we have it written down or whether we know it in our heart or whether we can pull out the Bible and we can say, no, this is the truth. You know, when we're thinking about, man, it just seems like nobody wants to study the Bible right now. Oh, but God's word says the harvest is plentiful.
Yep.
And it says if we keep working, that we'll reap a harvest if we don't give up. You know, that's the truth. That's a fact.
That's right.
So if we go do that, that will come in time.
Yeah.
If we don't give up on that. I believe that 100%. As we fight, we have to learn it's going to be by the power of God. We need to rely on God. Just give it to Him. God bless what we're doing. As we wrap up, let's remember, hey, in God's kingdom, everyone helps build.
That's
it's
right.
All of us.
Yep.
Yep.
Even this morning with this service, there were people filling the communion trays, setting up the slides, setting up the sound, practicing the songs, getting the lessons ready in the back, setting up the baptistry, setting up all sorts of different pieces, you know, fixing the chairs, making them lined up. Everybody's doing their part, you know, coming here, encouraging each other, talking to each other. Hey, how are you doing? How's your week going? Hey, I care about you. I'm excited for what's to come. You know, we're continually building. It takes all of us working together. When we build God's house, there's going to be that opposition, right? Satan's going to try to stop what you're doing for God. We have to be like Nehemiah. We see Nehemiah had those different doubts and those different things that came up, and he just prayed and kept working, kept persevering. And above all, let's know, hey, it's by God's power. One last verse.
Come on, Peter.
Nehemiah 4, verse 17. Those who carried materials did their work with one hand and held a weapon in the other.
Yep.
I love that imagery. I wanted to close out in the hope that, hey, that can just stick in your mind as you're a disciple following God, following Jesus. You know, they rebuilt, they were building up God's kingdom with one hand, they were fighting off Satan's attacks with the other.
Yep.
Let's be like that. Let's be men who, as we walk with God, when there's that opposition, we just stop and we pray. And we just ask, God, it's only going to be by you. Help us with this. Please, God, give us the courage that I don't have. Give us the power that we don't have to keep building your kingdom. And then once that's done, let's each do our part. You know, let's have our sword ready. Our sword is the truth, the word of God.
Amen.
Let's take it and be able to fight off Satan and his lies and his attacks. And then with our other hand, let's look to continue to build up God's kingdom.
Amen.
Amen.